Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 51. It's a good evening from him.
And a good evening from me. yes, it's another Tuesday. Another Project Prosper. I love these shows. They're always fun. And I get to speak to you because, you know, in the season, we're like ships passing the night. So I never get to talk to you when the season's going on. We're all over the shop, all of us. Oh, here's an interesting one as well. I noticed as we were doing it. This is as well, in fact, it's written down wrong on there. I'll change it now. But it's actually episode 350. So this is the 350th episode of UK Cowboys TV.
Yes. We've reached three and a half centuries. We are flying with these things. Who'd have thought it 5 years ago, Mike? Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. Flying by.
We set out with a little idea, and 5 years, 350 shows, a 24-hour podcast during a draft, multiple drafts that we've covered. I mean, we've done it all.
yeah, that 24-hour show still, people, you know, the boys will say stuff about it. Sorry, I'm trying to get my phone out of range. they will say, oh, you know, 24-hour, but it was actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It was a good laugh.
I'm still laughing at how delirious you were in that last hour.
Well, I kicked the show off. So we started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I had that break in the afternoon because I had to take care of the kids. And then, it just all went off. One second, I've just got to shut the door. The wife has just texted me.
No worries.
Carry on a minute.
Yeah, no, just whilst Mike is doing that, look, as always, we love you guys interacting with us. You know, we had a message in from Andrew before the show even started. What the F is going on with free agency? No number one running back. Center's a problem. Yippee, we signed a long snapper. Our great friend Joe from Italy. Well, Jerry Jones is all in. I mean, he's all in on screwing with his fans. I mean, look, Mike, I think you and I have both been very level-headed about this. Like, you know, I've tried to be. Our Twitter account up to date. Myself and Jamie wrote a couple of articles over the weekend, and we flagged this to people. We said, do not expect the Cowboys to be involved in the first week. Mm-hmm. And if you think they're going to be involved, you're only fooling yourself. You know, sure. Jerry is in the business of lying.
I wouldn't say he's in the business of lying. He's in the business of keeping the Cowboys in the news. Keeping them relevant is what he's in the business of. And that's just the way it goes. Oh, no, I tried to think what comment's coming in.
I'm just laughing. So Joe has just said, Jerry has just rang him and said he's traded me to that team up in Pennsylvania. And it's great to see Graham has not logged in as Lebarski tonight, and he's saying no panic here. The Commanders are welcome to our B list players, and I mean, this is the thing. What the Commanders have signed three of our players. Mm-hmm. Dorrance Armstrong is getting up to $45 million across 3 years. Yeah, Tyler Biadasz is getting $30 million for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure on what the deal is for Dante Fowler as yet.
I haven't seen the details on that because that literally has happened before we've gone live.
Yeah, and Tony Pollard went to Tennessee 3 years for $24 million. I mean, I think we can all say that was too rich for anyone's blood in Dallas, and we give out so much about the deals the Cowboys make, and it's always you're spending too much money. You do this, you do that. The Cowboys do something sensible. They get no praise for this. You're being inactive.
I mean, like, right, you want to play devil's advocate and you want to say, like, oh, the Cowboys, it's another free agency. The Cowboys haven't done anything again. And yeah, it's true. It's true. That is. And, you know, Jerry makes the comments of being all in. He does this sort of turnabout
on that comment during the combine, and tries to, you know, double back on himself a little bit. But, you know, look, the Cowboys are never very busy when it comes to free agency. It's certainly in the early wave, the first wave of free agency. And as much as we want to complain, like, there's two angles to look at it. And I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and find a positive spin on this. Because at the moment, Cowboys fans, they are frustrated. They're impatient. You know, there's still that bad taste in your mouth from the San Francisco game. The Green Bay game, wrong season. The Green Bay game in the wild card. So that is still in everybody's mouth, that taste still. So you kind of just like go, come on, do something. You know, it's like as if you're poking them. They're not going to. And then you say, well, this isn't good. And you say, okay, yeah, oh, fair enough. But the two angles to look at it, as you say, I'm trying to find optimism here, is one, by not doing it, so they've lost three major players. So there's 2025 compensatory picks coming your way already, which is Dallas loves to play that game. The other side is they're never very busy in free agency. And in the last 3 years, if you just go back at that, not being busy in free agency has got them 12-5 record each year. That's been optimistic. I mean, the other side of the argument will be, yeah, but where has that got them? That's got them in the playoffs and bounce straight back out again. It's like, yeah, okay. But I'm just trying to find optimism here. And I'm saying that they don't move much in free agency, gives them compensatory picks, and it gives them a 12 of them, you know, these records that they've had, and they managed to get to the playoffs, winning records, all the rest of it. It's about getting to the playoffs first, get there first, and then figure, as the season goes along, figure it out then. The issue has just been that Jerry's made these comments of saying, oh, look, we're all in. It gets to the first wave of free agency and we lose more than we gained.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating part.
It is. And, like, look, Graham has put the point up here and it's very, very valid. The second and third wave players have a point to prove. They're hungry.
True.
A couple of years ago, Jaron Kearse came in here as a bargain player. Everyone was like, who's he? And, you know, I think most people in Cowboys Nation know who he is now. We'll likely not see him back in Dallas.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pick up players, and good teams build through the draft. This is the one thing I say to everybody. If you look at it, the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't think, have signed one player yet in free agency.
Not they haven't
picked players. They've,
yeah, they've signed players, but you know, yeah, I mean, you know, you say, oh, you know, they do bargain buy.
Yeah,
they do. I think what the issue is people just want more. They want to see more. Mm. And be going on this dry spell without getting to a Super Bowl or even an NFC Championship.
Yeah.
And saying, look, this formula that you have on free agency obviously clearly isn't working. And to me, I think it's just, so one way is to say, let's just go bananas. Let's get all the free agents we want, i.e. Washington Commanders. That's what they're doing right now. Giants kind of doing the same thing. And the Giants have done this before, where they went out and made record amount or spent record amounts in free agency, and it never worked out. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to be like Dallas and just say, look, let's just build for the draft. To me, the best way to do it is to just have a balance. You don't have to go bananas in free agency. You don't have to spend a lot, but just spend a little just to put yourself in a very favorable and strong position. Just even if it's a case of covering yourself for the draft, at least do that with a quality player. You don't have, I think most Cowboy fans, they're not after Dallas to go out and splurge crazy, but just let's push towards some marquee player. You know, a premium, not premium, that's a bad word to use, but a quality free agent regular, you know, one that's there now, available free agent player
yeah.
to put onto the roster, that then will just inspire a bit of confidence in the fans and get behind the front office just a smidge. But that's what yeah. you need. I think that's more of what you need. And, you know, you talk about Kansas City. Kansas City aren't big movers either in free agency. They never really yeah. are. But they still do. They still go out and they'll at least get something going. They'll get a player. And it can sometimes just be that, which it doesn't even need to be for the fans to get the team behind. It can be for the other players. And so they look on to what the front office is doing and the squad and the roster and go, oh, okay, yeah. And it inspires confidence and puts a bit of fire in these players.
Yeah. I mean, a point I put up last night, and look, it's your friend Brandon Lohr from Blogging the Boys.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Brandon nailed it with this point. You still have a franchise quarterback. You still have an amazing left and right guard combination.
Yeah.
You have a wide receiver one. You've one of the best wide receivers in the league. You have a great wide receiver two. You've an all-star defensive end. You have a tank at defensive end. And you have a very, very solid secondary. That's not to say there aren't holes in this team. There are. None of us deny it.
Mm-hmm.
But of the four players who have gone so far, only one of them was an actual starter in Tyler Biadasz. Fowler was a rotational player. Armstrong was a rotational player. And, sorry, Tony was a starter. Apologies. Tony was a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us said, no way, we're not bringing back Tony Pollard on 8 or 10 million, which is what he got. So,
I think, ironically, of all the players that have gone, like, you know, the one I think will be missed the most is Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah, that's a fair
call. I know that sounds weird to say because, you know, we had a lot of riches on the defensive line last year. And I've written this and I've said, like, look, we had such a plethora of pass rushers, we could have traded some of them away last year and we would have still been in a really strong and positive place.
Yeah.
This year now, Fowler's gone. That's a big loss too. Yeah. Lawrence Armstrong goes. And then all of a sudden you're going, well, now we've got a DeMarcus Lawrence who's getting long in the tooth. We've got a Sam Williams who we're unsure about. Chauncey Golston, who I don't know how he fits into the Zimmer scheme. And then you've got Oso, who's the one player who's on the way up. But then you say, but we've got Mazi Smith, and he's still developing. So now there's huge panic on the defensive line. It's huge. Yeah. It's crazy. And Dorrance Armstrong was one of these sneaky players. He was always that player that would go to Oxnard, flash, and you'd be like, oh, here we go. Yes, Dorrance Armstrong. And it would get to the season and he would just fade into obscurity, he'd just disappear into silence. And then all of a sudden then, you know, they gave him his chance and he proved his worth, not just as a pass rusher, but on special teams as well. He was huge in both aspects. And then he was this brilliant designated pass rusher you could bring on, especially on that Dan Quinn system that rotates the defensive line so heavily. But now he's gone with Fowler, and now you're going, okay, so now there's that means it's Sam Williams for definite, and you kind of like go, okay, let's hope he's developed into what we was seeing when he was at Ole Miss, you know, at the pro days as well, when we've seen those videos. You're hoping that's what you're going to get. And then you've got Vilami or Junior Fajoka, whichever way you're going. Yeah. Who's a question mark, and Tyrus Wheat, and that's it. I know we got Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is in there, so really, as long as Micah Parsons is still there, it kind of like he's the that load bearing member that is that's just holding what is left behind all on top, basically.
Yeah. And look, let's not be afraid to remember a couple of years ago, the Dallas Cowboys brought in Robert Quinn a couple of weeks into free agency.
Yeah.
He had a great season. What, he had a 10 or 12 sack season?
He was definitely double digits, and it basically relaunched his career.
Yeah. The following year, they brought Aldon Smith out of retirement, and he had 8 or 10 sacks. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, as our own Graham is saying here, and Graham is on fire tonight in terms of what he's putting in. The Pats were never big buyers in free agency. They built through the draft. And we do have, and look, a lot of people are going to get triggered by this comment. DeMarvian Overshawn comes in next season. He's a new player. You mentioned Junior Fajoco is a new player. Yes, they didn't get much chance to show last year, but you do have players who can fill in for what's there as well.
Yeah, I get it. You know, Overshawn is coming back. That's great. Yeah, it is, of course. You can't forget Overshawn. The issue with Overshawn is double fold. You know, it is that he's still, and you know, I've got to speak out both sides of my mouth when I talk about Overshawn, because the way the modern NFL game is going, you need faster linebackers that can clog and cover. They need to be able to dual role. That's just the way the NFL is going. You know, 4-3 defense, maybe not so much anymore. It seems to be that most
hybrid
defenses run, they run with two or even just one linebacker. Yeah. The issue with Overshawn is he's built much the same way as Damone.
Yeah.
As these speedier off-ball linebackers that can cover, which is fine. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. But you've got two of the same guy. And, you know, we've seen last year what it looks like on the defense when you have two of the same guy, because we had it with Damone Clark and Marquise Bell, who are fairly similar in stature and size and the way that they play. And the issue was stopping the run. So if you're going to have Overshawn back, does that really help you stop the run? The other issue is what type of Overshawn are you getting post-ACL? We don't know.
That's fair. That's extremely fair in terms of what you're saying. And, you know, I suppose, like, again, we don't know what we're going to get with Junior Fajoco, because he had an injury-disrupted season.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, both players effectively redshirted there, just getting into their first proper full, you know, conditioning season. So, you know, they're going to essentially be first-year players. But, I mean, look, kind of to highlight the madness of the last 24, 28 hours, this comment here from Joe absolutely nails it. Our fans are crying about paying Dak Prescott. Did you see what Kirk Cousins got going to Atlanta? I think he's gotten something like $450 million across his career.
I'm mostly guaranteed. Yeah, I made a tweet and I was like, is there any quarterback in the NFL who's earned so much for doing so little?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot it was your tweet that I was actually talking about.
No, because it's true. I've seen
it somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. When you stop and you look for it and you go, you know, people talk about Dak's record. Go pull up Kirk Cousins. Like, the last time that guy won a playoff game was when COVID was happening.
Yeah, and like it wasn't so good back then. Graham, as we say, is on fire. Brian Hoyer.
there you go. Look,
you know, like, he's made a lot of money throughout his career.
Chad Henne, as a backup. Henne is another one.
Sam Bradford. You know, you could make a list of these guys who've made a lot of money.
Yeah.
From just being a backup.
But Gardner Minshew.
That's it. And as Joe said, and he backed up your point, Kirk Cousins, he has one playoff win. He's been in the league for, what is it, 11, 12 years now at this stage?
And stop and think as well about the type of teams, the type of players Cousins has had. Kirk Cousins takes over for a team where it's post Minneapolis Miracle, where they have a backup quarterback that takes them to the fringe, to the very edge, and you know, they get to the NFC Championship with the exact same roster. Kirk Cousins comes in and they don't make the playoffs.
Oh, Graham, you are dishing out the fire tonight.
Tyrod
Taylor. Literally, so anyone who can't see, Graham has said Tyrod Taylor, 9 million per year. And he has the green faced emoji. You all know which one that is. But look, we don't want to get too much into free agency, Mike, because you have a special guest on Thursday. You're going to talk more about free agency. So we don't want to take too much from that. And look, hopefully by Thursday, you'll have some new signings to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, hopefully, I mean, we'll give it away. We're hoping to have Nick Harris with us, depending on how things go and all the rest of it. I've been speaking to all the guys over there, and Brian Broadus, all the rest of them. So we'll try to. But, you know, with these things, especially if Dallas makes some sort of big major signing, or say like the Dak contract comes through, or a contract comes through, then that means, you know, forget it. We're going to get no special. So it's hopefully if everything stays smooth, and that's smooth in brackets, exclamation marks around it, all the rest of it, pirate flag. Then that's what we'll do. And we'll talk more on all of that Thursday, hopefully. Yeah.
So what we've decided to do tonight, folks, is we are going to do a one round mock draft for you. So Mike and I are going to take alternate picks on this. So every second team we'll make the pick for it, and we'll give you a quick idea. I have the PFF mock draft simulator open, Mike, so I think that allows us trade if we want to have a little look at it.
Let's do no trades this time. We'll do trades another time.
No trades. Excellent. Yeah. No, we'll definitely come back to one with trade scenarios.
Got it, because trading, I think, will be vital in what Dallas decide to do with their pick in the first round. So we have to do one with trade. But I think for the first time around, no trades. Keep it nice and simple. Kiss, as they say.
Yeah. And look, I'm not sure who this pollster is. New pollster to me, anyway. I don't know if he's with you on Thursday nights, Mike, but you know the deal. Is saying, I'm trying to stay hopeful, but we have major holes to fill. Can't miss on draft picks this year. O-line has to be a top priority.
It's true.
Absolutely.
It's true. So I've literally got an article coming out saying, you know, after everything that's happened in free agency so far, what are the major holes in the Cowboys roster, and I detail why. And offensive line is number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you'll be writing for Blogging the Boys all of this week, Mike, but myself and Jamie will try and do a wrap up of the first week of free agency for you guys over the weekend. So do stay tuned to socials as well. We'll have something out there for you. But look, let's get into the first round of this mock draft. So, Mike, if you want to take the first pick, I'll go second.
All right. So if we say it's no trades, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think what Chicago Bears need to do is get rid of Justin Fields. I think what they've done is they've drafted Justin Fields and just gone, okay, now fix the offense for us, Justin. And they haven't given him anything. They've changed offensive coordinators a bunch of times while he's been there, giving him no offensive line, no skill players. My number one player on my board, and how it should be on everyone's board, it should be Marvin Harrison. So I'm giving Chicago Bears Marvin Harrison. So now Fields has a genuine number. So in this particular case, because we're not doing trade down, what I would do if I was the Bears is I'd be trading out of that position and still get Marvin Harrison. So, but in this case, you can't. So the pick would be Harrison, and you give him finally somebody who can take the ball, give him a genuine target to funnel to, and you could just keep pummeling him with targets. This guy is. And I try and remember the last time I was this excited about a wide receiver. And the only the nearest, closest place I can go to, like Amari Cooper was almost as close as this, but the next one would have been Julio Jones.
Yeah.
When he was coming out.
Yeah. That is very fair. So with the first pick, the Chicago Bears are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. the Washington Commanders come on the clock, and look, they haven't made a move as yet for a quarterback in free agency. So they're going to have every available quarterback to them. I think Mike has made a smart pick in taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I would concur. He's in my top two players. I would have him and Joe Alt probably as my top two players. It's not that I don't think the quarterbacks are good. I have question marks over every single one of them. But, you know, in this scenario, Washington need quarterback. Given who's available, I'm actually going to stick with who I thought they would pick at number two, which is Drake May, because I think he fits more with their system and what Dan Quinn will want to run in Washington. So the second pick is Drake May.
I mean, like, talented arm. It can have moments of inconsistency, but it's still a talented arm. And he's got a little bit of escapability as well with him, which is good, which I think they're going to need.
Given the needs that they still have, like, they had the worst offensive line in the league last year. Sam Howell was the most sacked quarterback in the league. So definitely, and I'm just seeing, you know, the deal's comment here. He says if Amarius Mims is still on the clock with our first pick, has all the upside in the world. Definitely, we can get behind that. Yeah. So it's back to you, Mike, with the third pick for the New England Patriots.
Well, this should be a no-brainer. Mac Jones is gone. So they need quarterback. They need a quarterback whether Mac Jones was staying or not anyway. Captain Checkdown is out the building. Yeah. So this is Caleb Williams. It was going to be one or the other. So, you know, I think at this stage, when you see this, it's going to go quarterback. Yeah. Whichever way you decide to put the guys, how you rank them is entirely up to you. But it's definitely going that way. Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner. He's got a great ability to play out of structure. He can stretch plays and you know, the guy will do enough in his rookie year to have a good solid foundation at the Patriot. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think of this along the lines of Washington.
Yeah.
you flipped it on me. So now I'm trying to think how it would look in the Patriots. And I think there's enough there for them to work around, and then they can build on other parts of, like, the running game, the tight end, passing game. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot you can do with that after this season. So, you know, it's not going to be pretty. He's going to do enough this year. Yeah. I think if he was at the Patriots, he would do enough this year. And then you've got a foundation to build off and springboard from beyond then.
Yeah,
would be my case there.
For sure. So next on the clock, we've the Arizona Cardinals, who have needs at wide receiver, offensive and defensive line, linebacker, cornerback. And look, I've already kind of alluded to it in terms of who I think is the second best player in this draft. And I'm going to go right ahead and give them Joe Alt.
Oh,
it just adds some protection. Like, obviously, they're going to stick with Kyler Murray at quarterback. I'm still not sure if Kyler Murray is that guy yet. I've always had questions about him, even dating back to when he won his Heisman Trophy. It's just the size thing. And, you know, he's been caught for that. He's been injured a couple of times. And you're just going to have to give him someone who is going to protect that blind side and stop him from landing on his ass.
I'll give you that. I mean, I do like Joe Alt. There's a lot to like. He's the most balanced, ready to go offensive tackle in this year's draft. You know, there's guys who I would say are better at pass protecting than Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of guys who are equal in terms of run blocking to Joel, but none of them are
as close in terms of balance, if you know what I mean, and as well as discipline. So if you want to include the third part, so you've got pass protecting, and this is how I write my little things when it comes to offensive linemen. It's run protecting, pass protection, discipline. It just is the quick snapshot, you know, for scores. Yeah. And Joel, in all three categories, as the most balanced offensive lineman in this year's draft, has the most in those three categories collectively. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic player. And as you see, you've seen him up front. So you've got even more experience on that one than me.
Yeah. And if there's an early run on quarterbacks, there's an early run on wide receivers, which we've seen in some mock drafts happening.
Yeah.
Juwalt will start sliding. And there is a case that if a team has a really solid left tackle in place already, I think Juwalt has the flexibility to move into guard and play guard at a pretty high level.
Just easier to... Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that argument with you, but okay.
Yeah, it might be just the size is too much because he can get forklifted.
That was the thing. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so you wouldn't know what way teams might look at it, but if we flip it back over, so it's back to you, Mike, and you are with the LA Chargers at number 5.
No brainer. One of my favorite players, and like. He's in my top 4 players. So it's Harrison, Caleb, May, then it's Brock Bowers. So yes, Chargers take Brock Bowers with this pick. And I'm thinking scheme, new coach, I'm thinking Michigan Wolverines, how they style their play. Now you get to have maybe the best tight end in not just this draft. Like I done a side by side with the statistics on him and I've forgotten the guy's name. Help me out.
Kyle Pitts.
Thank you very much. Just escaped my name. I knew you'd remember. So yeah. I did a side by side and Bowers is just light years ahead. Like if you were excited about Pitts, you've got to be more excited about Bowers. But and like with Bowers as well, he also has the block. They're not perfect by any means, but they're still adequate in terms of blocking skill. And it's far better than Pitts. And so you put him with what they've got, a quarterback, the other skill position plays. Now you put Bowers in there, along with how the scheme is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a lovely fit. It's going to be awesome to watch. And as Cowboys fans, you know, I know we've got Jake Ferguson, and Ferguson is fantastic. Yeah, I just think, like, imagine if Bowers was here, how much that would change. 12-man personnel would be insane.
Graham is asking here, is he Pitts 2.0?
Like, no player is destined for absolute success, are they, you know?
Yeah.
But I love Bowers. Bowers is... Yeah. A far better prospect coming out of college than what Pitts was coming out of Florida. And I'm not saying that, in the SEC sense, trying to be the enemy there, because he was fantastic. Final year he had with the Gators was insane.
Yeah.
But Bowers has done it on a more consistent basis, and he's shown you he has the blocking skills to go with it. So
Bowers has done it for 3 years. Arguably.
Yeah.
You know? So it's definitely it's a great pickup, and Graham's saying he likes this pick as well. So we're over to the New York Giants. And look, again, they have needs everywhere. And I'm just trying to look down through this list at I'm just trying to filter it now. There we go. I'm not sure if I want to pull the trigger on it or not. I think the Giants might do this. I'm I'm going to give them JJ McCarthy. I think JJ McCarthy is going to move early.
I mean, that's rich. I mean, like, there's every possibility that could happen.
Yeah.
I just think it's a bit rich for me and McCarthy. Like,
this is a big thing.
Yeah.
My phone's going crazy, by the way. Something's going on. But, McCarthy, I think he's a brilliant. You could definitely see players gravitate towards him. The character of who he is, fantastic. You see a lot of little things, like even at the combine, you've seen things and you're like, oh, okay. Like, players just seem to gravitate to him. He's got a natural level of leadership to him. And people respond to him. And you've seen that as well at Michigan. The passing is just, it can be a bit wild, especially when he throws left. The throwing left thing is still a mystery to me. I cannot pinpoint. And I try and watch his technique. And there's nothing major. There's fine little things like the leaning back part of it all and the arm angle. These are minor things. But you look at it and you just wonder why. I don't get it myself. But there we go. I mean, you've gone McCarthy. You're going to have to lock it in now, mate.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think there's a possibility they move along from Danny Dimes, even though they're going to have to eat a huge amount of cap for that. But I mean, if you look at how they spoke about DeVito at the end of the season,
yeah,
we've never reckoned Danny Dimes was going to be the guy. I can tell you, if Andy and Kevin from the UK Giants are watching this, they are going to absolutely murder us for that one.
But, no, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. You know, it's very possible that that happens, that we get three quarterbacks in the top 10 picks.
Yeah.
For definite.
If we move along, look, we're at Tennessee at number 7. I mean, the board is wide open for them. They're probably a quarterback away from being a contender again.
So I'm looking at what they're doing, how they're building things up. I think they're going to do the build everything up first, then drop in your quarterback. Just like how they're building things. So that's why I think what they're going to do is they're going to build their offensive line in advance. Yeah. Just like how they're doing everything at the moment just screams that. So I think that they take an offensive tackle, and it's going to be Talisi Fauga. They take him. In he goes. He's got chance now to be your left tackle. He's got a year to learn, to grow, all the rest of it. Next season, get your quarterback. You've done other things with, hopefully, with your offensive line and your offense that you can drop in that, and away you go. You're rolling.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a really smart pick to make at this point, because I mean they have been adding bits and pieces. They've taken two shots at quarterback in terms of Malik Willis and Will Levis. Yeah. I don't think either are the long term guy there, but I think you're right in terms of teams seem to be getting smarter now. They're not doing the whole Andrew Luck thing and going, we have to get our quarterback now. Everyone's seen Andrew Luck. What happened to him? It's a cautionary tale. Build your trenches, then you take your quarterback in, which is smart.
Just seems to be where they're going. Do you know what I mean?
Graham.
Graham. Do owners allow passing on quarterbacks? Tickets to sell.
I'm interested in along this one.
So we're at Atlanta at pick number 8. Whilst there's a lot of great players who are still available to Atlanta, they're not a team who need anything at a skill position, and that's the best position, or that's the best available players on the board. Yeah. But what they do need, for me, is an edge rusher. a guy to really, really scream off the edge. I think, have we gone all offense so far? We have. And I think they might turn around and look at someone like Dallas Clark at this point in time.
At Dallas Turner, you mean?
Or Dallas, sorry, I don't know why I said Dallas Clark. Dallas Turner, absolutely. Because I think it's a bit early. They also have needs on the defensive line and at cornerback. But I think it's a bit early for both of those to be going at this point. I don't think you've a top 10 talent there. Dallas Turner, for me, is a potential top 10 talent. And I think they take him now.
He's the most versatile, for sure, in what you're going to do. Because the next guy I'm taking, ironically, as a pass rush is Jared Verse. Because that's for the Bears that pick at 9. So it would be pass rush or pass rush here. But I think, for what your scheme is looking for is a guy who can float around, be almost like a little bit of a Micah Parsons, which is practically really what Dallas Turner is in that sense. With Jared Verse is going to be more of a guy who... Graham. Jared Verse is more of a guy who's going to play in more of that single position. He's going to play with his hand down. You want him just in one place and just scream off and go.
Yeah.
And that's my pick at 9. So we've gone both ways there, but... What's your number 10 pick then? Here's a sneaky one.
So, look, the Jets are back on the clock, and you could look, there's still skill positions there. It's still the highest available ranking. But the Jets have waved goodbye to Graham's sweetheart of the last couple of years in terms of Mekhi Becton. They're going to need a guy to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. And for me, that guy right now is Olu Fashanu to start at left tackle.
I like it. He's fine. I was speaking to... Who's speaking to? Our Professor O, Mark. Yeah. And we was just going over... We went over linebackers. We went over offensive tackles. And Ollie's that guy who... can fit in the second, the third, the fourth, or the fifth in your rankings, but it depends on what you're looking for in terms of offensive linemen. If you're happy, he's got a little bit of work to do in pass protection, that's for sure. But it's all technique stuff. You know, there's nothing that's glaringly bad, which is why I keep saying that. If you put him as your second offensive tackle in your rankings, I've got no argument with that. That's totally it totally works, and I agree with you. And it's a great fit for them.
Yeah. So we're on to number 11, and this is the erstwhile Minnesota Vikings with needs everywhere. I think the only place they don't have a need is wide receiver.
Yeah. So So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and make a strength on strength here, right?
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson, so Kirk Cousins is gone. He's on the move. So quarterback is a big need.
Yeah.
He took the guy who I don't know if I would have taken. So it worked out in my favor because this is going to be the Jaden Daniels pick at this stage.
Yeah.
You could argue it's a little bit early, but he's not going to last for the Vikings next pick in the second round. So you're going to have to take it here. Get your guy, grab it, take it early. And Daniels, he's got a lot going for him. The big questions are, were the wide receivers making him or was he making the wide receivers? But luckily for me, I don't have to make that decision on that one. It's up to the Vikings, but they certainly need to go out and make this move. And Daniels fits the bill perfectly on that one. So that would be my pick for the Vikings.
And for me, a lot of this talk about they might go and get Sam Darnold, they might ring the phone to Jerry and go, hey, that Trey Lance fella, we'll give you a fourth round pick for him. I think that's smoke and mirrors. They're trying to deflect from the fact that they're going to draft their quarterback in the future. If Kirk Cousins had have came back anyway, they might have still drafted their quarterback of the future. So I think it's a smart move to make now. You have a Heisman Trophy winner. coming into the building. As you say, you don't know if it was him or the receivers he played with that really made it. But you're giving him two great receivers in terms of Jefferson and Addison. I was going to say they've a great tight end in TJ Hawkinson, but he's with the Lions now, of course. But you can turn around and give him a tight end later on in the draft, because there's not, apart from Bowers and Jatavion Sanders, there aren't standout tight ends in this class that you're going to be talking about outside the third round.
Yeah, and I'm very much remiss for taking Sanders in the first round too, because he's still in his development. Yeah, he's not a first round tight end.
No, I fully agree with you. And you know how easy it is for me to go, yeah, you're wrong about Longhorns again. But I'm fully behind on that. I would fully agree. But I would expect him to go before pick 40. I think he'll go early in the top of the second.
The early day two picks is a nice spot to take him there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he did shine at the East West Shrine. There's a rhyme. Senior Bowl. Oh, and again. Was he the Senior Bowl? No, he was East West Shrine. I could have sworn it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yes, moving on.
Moving on. And look, we're at the dumpster fire, which is the the Denver Broncos. I mean, again, this is a team that has holes absolutely everywhere. I don't know who's throwing the ball. I don't know who their line is. I don't know who their running back is going to be. So I'm actually going to go with the best player who's available on the board right now in terms of Malik Nabers, and give them a guy who was a standout at LSU in this past year. Probably one of the best wide receivers in the country. And they fill the spot that they've traded away Jerry Jeudy from, and give him that space to grow into. They're going to have to resolve a lot of other issues whilst they're eating, what is it, $60 million this year they're eating for Russell Wilson?
It's more than that, actually. It's like close to 80.
You know, like, as we say, they're a dumpster fire. It's a team that might turn around and go, do you know what, we're going to trade out of here, try and get a few more draft picks in. But we've said, look, we're not going to do any trades in this version of the draft. So back to you at number 13, and it is the absolute wild card of the draft, Mike. It is that time where you start looking at your special teams players. Who are the punters? Who are the kickers? Or who are the criminals?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, wait. I got pick 13. Sorry. You're right. Because they do like to take punters really early.
Yeah.
Mind you, saying that, it didn't work too bad out from the last time they went early on punter. You know, you ended up getting somebody who was multiple Pro Bowler. But for me on this one, I'm going, could do with tackle. Could do with inside offensive lineman too. Could do with quarterback. But all of that, with what I've got left, all the quarterbacks have gone. The first round, really talented guys. So that's off the board. I'm not taking inside offensive lineman guards this early. Tackle is so deep, and the best guys that come off the board, I'm going to wait. So I'm going to go back to the defense.
Yeah.
Now, this guy flew up boards during the draft process. And I really like it. And I think he's going to be absolutely solid at the next level. And these guys need it. They just need whatever they can get on defense at the moment. So I'm going with the cornerback, Mr. Quinyon Mitchell.
Quinyon Mitchell. I for a second I was going, oh, I wonder, is he going to? I'll come back to it and I'll make the pick and get it in. I thought for a second, the way you were talking, that you were going to go with Byron Murphy the second.
No. he's on my list. He's on my list for guys to come off. Don't you worry.
Yeah. But I mean, again, look, it's a pick that makes sense. In terms of Mitchell, I the other guy that I had marked down for you was Cooper DeJean.
Kupertazhan works.
But I think you're ultimately going to see, by the time the draft rolls around, I think you're right in that Quinion Mitchell will be the first cornerback off the board.
Yeah, like Quinion Mitchell has just been completely solid throughout. He's been consistent. And Kupertazhan, mm-hmm. fantastic. And I've done the scout report on him.
Yeah.
And watched his tape quite a bit. And with Kupertazhan, fantastic. He's one of those fringe. You can give him the cheat grade, the 1-2.
Yeah.
It's he commits so heavily in the tackle and to the run game as well, because he's really, really Kupertazhan fantastic at defending the run. That, unfortunately, if you make your cornerback top heavy, because he is, when you look at him, he looks like a triangle. And he's bulky on top, which is why he's so good at run stopping. What that means is, as a cornerback, you're slow in the hips. That's just a little bit of a concern when you want them to turn and you want them to pivot. Mm-hmm. And I think for the Raiders, that's not, they need a more of an all-round guy. And I know you've still got another cornerback on there, but I think he would have impressed enough that that's where they go. And that would be the direction they go in.
And this is the thing, as we said, the Raiders will make a surprise pick.
Mm.
They will always keep everybody on their toes. You don't know what it's going to be until the pick is in. I mean, what was it, 2-3 years ago, they took Damon Arnett at pick 19.
Yeah.
And they had to cut him before the season was through.
Mm.
You know, so you just don't know with them. I'll just try and speed it up a little bit. I'm going to go quick through this one. So we're with the New Orleans Saints. They need a quarterback, tackle, defensive line. But I'm going to give them another strength. I'm going to add Romeo Odunze to Chris Olave. Ooh. Put him on the opposite side. Give Derek Carr another target.
Ooh. You've got a very solid double wide receiver tandem there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I do like that. Spot move. So if you want, I mean, we'll blitz through this quickly then. So you talked about Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy's my pick at pick 15 for the Colts. You got Grover Stewart. You don't know what he's going to be doing going forward. That's a big question mark. So defensive line is a big need. Got to go there.
Yeah. Flicking on then, and we're at the Seattle Seahawks at 16. So again, they're looking at offensive line. And I'm going to give them Trau Fautanu, a guy who's already in the Washington area. They will have scouted him extensively during the last year. And again, they could flip him into guard. They have Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas as their bookends. Fautanu could go into guard, and you again have a solid, solid line there. And in a division with killers on the defensive line.
I like that move very much. And then if you want, I'm gonna speed it up a little bit again, and I'll say pick 17 is going to be Lateo Latu, the
very
defensive
solid
end.
For
Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's get Saxonville back. Let's put that back on the board for them.
For sure. And moving on quickly, as we say, with the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to take Sirhan Newton out of Illinois. Just add to their interior defensive line.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to take another cornerback here. I'm going cornerback again. This time it's Terrion Arnold. Showed the speed. The speed was always the concern. Went to the combine, proved it. He's got it. Yeah. He's locked in. I think that's a solid pick for the LA Rams. With everything, with all the parts that they've lost on that defense, especially a defensive back. Let's try and build that back up again. So there we have it.
And Pittsburgh Steelers coming in hot then and going, we're going to take the next best available defensive back, and they take Kupertazhan.
Okay. I like that. That's an interesting one. This is going to absolutely kill a few people with what I'm going to do here. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. We don't know what's going on with that inside offensive line. What are they doing specifically at center? So at this stage, we don't know. So This is Jackson Powers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It had to be. Look, and, you know, they haven't made a move to bring Connor Williams back yet. Robert Hunt has already left the building. He's gotten a huge deal. I don't know how he got that huge deal he got, but it makes the most sense. Oh, God, how did I end up picking for this shower? Oh, Lord. Can I give them a punter?
Well, that would be really cruel, wouldn't it?
It would be cruel, but look, I'm not going to be that horrible. I'm going to give them the best player available, and this is something they need with some of the players they've lost in terms of Kevin Byard and Avonte Maddox. Nate Wiggins goes to Pennsylvania. Cornerback out of Clemson.
There you go. All right, so we can slow back down and we get to the Dallas pick. But this one is one of my favorite tackles. You already picked one, Troy Fuaga. I hope he gets to 24 for Dallas, because that would be amazing. That would be my ideal. Yeah. Next best is JC Latham, which is going to be this pick here at 23. Houston, they just need offensive line. They could spend the next two seasons building this up. It starts here. You know, it's the same on the other side. Defensive line. They need plenty of help there too.
Yeah.
JC Latham, big guy, bulky, just a power in. Like, we spoke about it on the offensive tackle show.
Yeah.
When we were going for the offensive tackles, this guy, he just stands out on tape, very obviously, before the snap even happens, because he's just this huge mountain of a man. Very hard to get around. Put him over there, get things going, get things rolling. That's your man. But here we go. Dallas Cowboys, pick 24, Brian. All the pressure is on you.
So, look, let's have a little chat about this. And look, some of the top names that are available are guys that we have collectively mentioned that we would be very interested in. Amarius Mims is available. Graham Barton is available.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Thomas Jr. is available.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Guyton is available. Adonai Mitchell is available. Troy Franklin Jr. is available. I mean, we could go on and on and on. That's the top 10 available players right there. So if people want to get their opinions in on who you would like to take.
Now we're about to either get a lot of followers or lose a lot of followers on this one.
Well, I'm looking and seeing that we have 64 people watching right now, which is
correct.
That's a pretty big number for us at this time of the show. So we're hoping there will be people who will be throwing in their comments. I will say this.
A majority of those comments, people watching, are on Twitter. So I just want to say, if you do want to make a comment, we don't get your Twitter comments coming up on here. If you go on our Facebook or YouTube. Channel, you'll be able to comment and we can see them. We can't see the Twitter ones. For whatever reason, they've restricted. Elon Musk has restricted your comment, your free speech.
we're going to watch this show back once we get off and see what everyone is blowing up the Twitter account with.
But I mean, come on then.
Look, let's discuss some of the options. I mean, Amarius Mims is primarily a right tackle. He could switch over to left tackle, or you could switch him into left guard. You put Tyler Smith back out. Graham Barton is a guy who gives you that guard center mix. Mm-hmm. The next name I said, Brian Thomas Jr., is an absolute flyer. If you brought him in, you're kind of going, I can move on from Brandon Cooks. I can move on from Michael Gallup. And he's really going to help you in terms of what you need. Tyler Guyton is a guy who is getting so much attention. I think you put the post up earlier today, or you retweeted a post saying our offensive line coach is going to watch Tyler Guyton's pro day at some crap school north of Texas. but I mean, for me, look, it's hard to pass up, and we always say to you folks, watch who the Cowboys are interviewing, watch who they're paying attention to, and watch who has played well at Shrine Bowl games at the Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl games. What have they done in those games? And for me, the standout guy, and it kills me to say it. I don't want to say it because of where he's gone to school, but it's going to be Tyler Guyton. And we're trying to be as real as possible in making the pick, because that's where a lot of signposts are going, are towards Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, I mean, like, the sample size with Guyton is very small, right? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't play the first year. Second year, he gets a little bit of an uptick. The third year, he gets injured. There's the ankle injury.
Yeah.
Which needs investigating. And, his third year, he plays a bit, but he plays more. Mm-hmm. But then he gets the ankle injury last season. So he gets, when they were expecting him to be the man, it kind of falls short. So you don't have a huge sample size, plus there's the medical. But he is a fantastic, he hasn't allowed a sack in college. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're going to say. The sample size. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But he hasn't done that. He has shown when he's been on the field to be very effective. If you take the total amount of passing snaps he's played in college, it's over 400 with zero sacks. So you're saying that's really like a season's worth. So within a season in college, he allowed zero sacks. Brilliant. Tick in a box. You say, he's right tackle, though. Okay, well, we did the exact same thing with Tyron Smith. Look how that worked out. Yep. So you can switch. And whenever it comes, and I always say this, whenever it comes to offensive linemen in the draft, the Cowboys do, I don't argue with it anymore. I just don't. When it comes to offensive linemen, certainly first round offensive linemen, I just don't argue with them. They seem to have that locked in. They know what they're doing there. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. Guyton would be a great pick.
Yeah. And I know people will be saying, well, what about Amarius Mims? You have the exact same issues with Amarius Mims. Yeah. He's a right tackle who has started 8 games at Georgia. And again, there are injury concerns with him. Yes, again, the Cowboys have done a formal interview. They'll probably bring him in as a 30 visit. You know, they will probably go to the Georgia Pro Day to see how he gets on. So it's not that we're discounting Amarius Mims or one of the wide receivers either. It's just we're trying to be thinking, what are they going to do? How are they going to do things? And that's what leads towards Tyler Guyton, who, you know, I think Dane has picked him in his 2 mock drafts that he's done. I mean, Dane Brugler is a smart person. He has a lot of contacts.
And so, he usually gets it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So, you know, if anyone wants to give their opinion on who they would have picked, I mean, Graham Barton, again, it's a name. He's probably the safest pick you could take if you were to pick from the three of them in terms of what he's done in college. But he's probably not the sexy pick that people will want to see.
No, I mean, you had a number of options. You could have gone, you could have, if you wanted to go cornerback, because that's a sneaky need. You said Brian Thomas. That's it.
Yeah.
That works. You got Nate Wiggins. So he would work in there. Jackson Powers was off. So, you got to take that away. Mims, Barton, they all work. Guyton, if you want to go, Lab McConkey kind of works there. Or A.D. Mitchell, you know, if you wanted that one as well. When it comes to offensive linemen in the first round, Dallas Cowboys, whatever they do, I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But I'm going to do the opposite now.
Yeah.
Take the other guy. So with this pick at number 25, it's Mims.
Yeah.
So it's going to go one way or the other on this one. So, yes, for the Packers, they need defensive back help.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's any real safeties that are first round safeties in this draft. Inside offensive linemen, they could
have help with, for definite. They seen that in their playoff game, the one after Dallas. But offensive alignment is a need for them, so they'll take Mims with the other pick and get rolling on that offensive line rebuild.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a team who's lost. They've lost, obviously, David Bakhtiari. They released him. John Runyon went and got a big deal yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they do have needs at offensive line. Yeah. Moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who've kind of gone about things quietly, quickly, in terms of bringing back some of their own guys in Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield. Again, they're a team who do need offensive line help. Not as screamingly obvious, but they're going to take Graham Barton and put him at one of their guard or center spots because they need help in the interior. And Barton is a guy who can definitely help them.
Yeah, versatility with Barton is so crazy. You can put him tackle, guard, center. It's insane. And he's not one of these players either who's a jack of all trades, a master of none. He's not really. Yeah. He's not that type of guy. Like you, where you decide to place him, he's going to work. Cowboys, same thing with Tyler Smith. You could say the same thing there. That you could play him, maybe not with the center part of it all, but you can move him up and down that line with Barton. So huge versatility there. But here we go, 27 then, which is
the Cardinals.
So they're lacking speed, is what I'm saying on offense. It's very slow.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go and get the fastest player in the combine?
Ooh, I like where you're going.
Yeah, so stick Xavier Worthy in there. I know people will say he's not a first-round pick. Cardinals, you know, they're going to need some speed. It's slow, it's clunky on offense. Let's get some speed on there. Let's get the deep pass going. Put Xavier Worthy in, you immediately create a huge threat on that offense, which will open everything else up on the passing game. And that would be the pick, I think, that does them the most, that will do the most damage, especially when you think of the type of defenses that they're going to be facing in the NFC West.
Yeah.
So let's go there. He'll be the odd man out over there. That's my pick.
And I mean, we've already added Joe Alt into their roster, so it's giving them an extra target now that you can keep that quarterback upright.
You've got the Thunder to help him, and now you just put on the Lightning.
Yeah. So at 28, you have the Buffalo Bills, and they have kind of wiped out a lot of their second level defense at linebacker, at cornerback, at safety. They've been big victims of the cap. They had to cut so many players just to get under this year. So they're going to need to build big back through the draft. And for me, a guy, again, it's not a sexy name, and it's a guy who's going under the radar right now to fill in at one of their cornerback spots. It's Mike Sanstrel, the cornerback out of Michigan.
Okay, that was a bit of a shocker.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't see a safety that was worth taking for them.
Yeah. But I mean, safety would not be the place I would want to go in the first round. No. For definite. That is for definite. You got wide receiver there if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Because there's still choices at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Here's the irony, is it's the similar situation with the next pick with the Detroit Lions at 29.
Yeah.
You could go cornerback or wide receiver, but I'm going to go with cornerback because the wide receiver depth is larger. So I'm sure the Lions will be able to pick up wide receivers beyond this pick. Mm-hmm. So let's go get our cornerback as well. I'm going to do the same thing, but it's going to be Kool-Aid. Go get Kool-Aid. Yeah. Put him up in that on one side. Fire and forget. You've got it locked down. He's not the perfect guy. He's not the perfect cornerback. He's definitely a first round cornerback. People will say he's fringe. I don't think so. He's good. Stick him in there. Let's get things going. He's going to be the savior on defense.
Yeah. So we're moving along. We've three picks left to go. And as happens every single year in the draft, the Baltimore Ravens have their absolute pick of players, because always with the Baltimore Ravens, they have players pushed down to them and they sit there licking their lips. Oh, and right now they are looking and going, how has this happened? How have Brian and Mike allowed this to happen? Brian Thomas Jr. is still on the clock.
Yeah.
He's still available to us. How did this happen? And they're going to do what they always do, be smart and select Brian Thomas Jr.
It's a good pick. I like Brian Thomas. I like him. And he's more than just a deep threat. He is. Yeah. He is going to be an X receiver. Ironically, you know, because we talked about receivers for the Cowboys. Receivers we did, you know, in our receiver talk. Yeah. And he's an X-type receiver. And one thing the Cowboys are missing is that X-type. Brian Thomas fits that perfectly. I like that pick. I do. I like him. I think he's one of the more safer players in this year's draft, because you know exactly what he is and what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, moving on. So pick 31. So that's back onto me for the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. So we all know what the 49ers' best strength is. It's a defensive line. That's been diminished a little. Think plays getting a little long in the tooth. Let's restock that. Make that a strength again. It's Chop Robinson. Let's get that dude in there. Yeah. Let's get him flying around in the backfield and helping out on the other side to Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Try and make what is already strong for the 49ers and remake that a strength again. So yeah, that's my pick.
And I mean that they're looking at losing players. I mean, Chase Young, they can't get him back. Randy Gregory, they're probably not going to be able to get him back.
No.
I think they've allowed Arik Armstead to look at a trade.
Yeah.
So it's a great spot to go, and like as you say, you've picked Chop Robinson. He seems to be a guy that's kind of dropping a little bit, and it's nothing to do with what he's doing as a player.
No.
He has the ability. It's just players will climb the boards, and someone has to get pushed down.
Exactly.
And if you get Chop Robinson at 31, you're getting a feckin' fantastic player.
Oh yeah, he's solid. Yeah, I mean, like the Miz don't get much going for them at times, but he was solid. He was great.
Yeah. Absolutely. So to wrap this up, and this is going to come as absolutely no surprise, I think this is the most well-flagged draft pick that everyone is seeing. It's A.D. Mitchell going to Kansas City, and it's Patrick Mahomes getting a deep threat.
Finally. Yeah. You know, like it's amazing. Like, here's the crazy bit when you think that they did so much on offense with so little. And then they land a guy like A.D. Mitchell. All of a sudden you go, oh, wow. Yeah. So and as the Chiefs, I'm completely sitting there at 32. I'm not moving. And I'm just waiting to see what falls to me. And I'm just taking whatever is the best wide receiver at that point, because whatever it's going to be is going to be perfect to lock in. Like, even if it's Worthy, if it's, I mean, you could push and say, you know, Leggett could go in there. You know, we mentioned a couple of other wide receivers that are sort of those fringe guys as well. Doesn't matter. Whoever they take is going to help that offense. And when you think that they did so much and win the Super Bowl with so little, you add firepower to it. You go, whew, all right, here we go. It's on.
Yeah. And I mean, A.D. Mitchell is a guy who has played under the bright lights. Like, he's won two national championships with Georgia. He went to Texas, played in the college playoffs in the last season at Texas, and he had receiving touchdowns in all of those playoff games that he played in. So you're not going, this guy is a chance. This guy is, I don't want to say he's a sure thing, but he's pretty damn close.
Yeah, definitely. A very solid player. I like Mitchell. And again, another X type receiver that if the Cowboys took, I would be like, okay, if that's what we're doing,
Like it fits the plan, of things. It works, but for the Chiefs to take him there, that's like him, Worthy, Thomas, all of those guys. They all just. Whatever they land, it's just like, and then you just go, man, how do you stop these guys going on another Super Bowl run? Yeah.
I mean,
wild.
If they land, as you say, if they land Worthy, if they land Mitchell, Thomas, Legette, if they land McConkey, I mean, God help the rest of the league. There is going to be trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, they immediately have got better, and that's what they were missing. They were missing that. They were missing the because Patrick Mahomes, as well as Kelsey, because they're able to mask so much of the deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And you did see it that the middle of the season, the start for the Chiefs was bad, and it just progressively got a little bit better as time went on. And then, it sort of all clicks together towards the end. And then you get Miko Hardman scoring, the winning touchdown and all of this. Yeah. You look at that and then you go, but imagine if they had a number one wide receiver, or not a number one, but a top flight wide receiver one, how much easier would life have been? And those games were fringe games for them. How much would they have been like, no, we'll win this. Now that's gonna happen, and you're just like, wow, okay, here we go. Great.
So we've just made every team better across the league. I think we've made the Dallas Cowboys better, much and all, as it kills me to say it. But I mean, I think, look, that wraps up our first mock draft. We will come around and do another one of these in the week of the mock or of the draft itself. We'll do a full seven round. We might include a few trades or maybe look at just maybe one or two trades in it. But look, Mike, what is happening on Thursday night?
We're going to talk free agency. It's all about free agency is kicking right off. So we've got a special guest joining us from Dallas Cowboys headquarters. And we will look at the free agent moves that have been made or not been made and go from there, really, and try and perk everybody up at a very dark time of the season, if you're a Cowboys fan.
Look, I think if there's one thing we can say in advance of Thursday, there will hopefully be some free agent signings, if not just re-signings of our own free agents.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if Dak happens, then that will really kick off. I mean, we'll do a special show for that anyway, like we did last time. Dak has his own emergency podcast show when that kicks in. So, yeah. So there we have it.
That is it. So before we get out of here, obviously, look, we better pay the bills. So I'll throw it over to you, Mike.
Yeah, if you're going to a game this year, make sure you book it through Cowboys Experience. They have game day tickets, stadium tours. They do the Start in Frisco tour. They'll do you meet and greets with players and legends and members of staff, and they'll cater to all your needs. Make sure, though, if you're booking it, you tell them the UK Cowboys sent you, because you will get, Brian, what do you get?
You will get free stuff.
Some free stuff in your package, yes. So make sure you check them out. After you. Cowboys XP on social media, or go to cowboysexperience.com.
Absolutely. And look, before we get out of here, the season starts now. Teams are getting better.
The new league season has officially started.
Football's back, baby.
Well, let's get out of here.
It's a good night for me.